Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with co-host Coach Nick. Coach Nick, how are we doing today?
Hi, Coach Steve. I'm really good, really good. How about yourself?
I'm really well. I'm excited for episode number 31 of the Challenge Weekly Show today. And like always, you know, it's an exciting week of the challenge. It's this week we will be announcing our top 50, our top 10, and our top three. How exciting, Nick?
Well, that's the pinnacle. I can't wait. I can't wait to see everyone's transformations and find out who has made the top 50, top 10, top three, and grand champion. Ooh!
Yes, it's going to be so good. The public voting closed just a couple of days ago from when this podcast has been released. And I would like to thank the thousands of people who voted in both the Max and the Maxine Challenge. We had a high number of people come and vote for friends and family. So lots of people outside of the challenge come and voting for their favorite transformations. And then lots of people within the challenge voting as well. So we've had literally thousands of votes, which is really cool. So we'll be announcing the winner of the public vote award, which would be this Friday. So Friday the 20th, kicking off at 7:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, we'll be having our awards night. That's going to be live streamed to our Facebook group. So we'll be announcing our public vote champion, our People's Choice winner. It's going to be really cool to announce that.
That's exciting. Ooh, can't wait.
Also on that night, on Friday the 20th, we'll be announcing our top 10 and our top three for the Max and the Maxine Challenge. That's from the May Challenge. It's going to be an exciting night. But look, the top 50 gets announced very soon. So that will be on Wednesday the 18th, just after lunchtime. It'll be really cool. That'll be announced on our Facebook group, and it'll be launched out on our website as well, and probably get an email about that too. So it's an exciting week announcing all of our finalists for the May Challenge.
Super duper exciting. And look, congratulations if you are a finalist and also if you finished and completed the challenge. So just congratulations to everyone. Well done.
Yeah. You know, passing that on, I'd like to congratulate anyone who's started their fitness journey, let that be the start of the May Challenge or during the May Challenge, or you've just been listening to this podcast. If you're putting energy towards fitness, towards improving yourself and towards changing your body and looking after you, that's awesome. And I'd like to congratulate you for doing that.
Very good. Yeah, one step at a time, no matter where you are.
Now, the six-week challenge starts very soon. So just rolling into the next challenge, kicking off just in a couple of weeks. So prep weekend starts on the 27th and the challenge officially begins on the 30th of August.
Ooh, very exciting. 6 weeks.
Nick, we've been getting lots of questions about, people asking, how do I start the challenge? And maybe the weekend is too short of a time. You know, maybe that person's working over the weekend. How do they prepare for the challenge? And I thought that we could offer our quick tips about what we can do maybe today to get prepared for that August challenge to kick off for that challenge. Now, I think the first and foremost is, let's talk about the food side of things, that nutrition plan. The first thing I'll say is that the foods on that nutrition plan are likely foods that you have in your cupboard right now. The foods that are on that plan are your, serves of protein. So we've got, chicken, beef. We've got serves of energy. So we've got things like rice and pasta, and then serves of fruit and vegetables, which I hope you have in your house, such as everything from lettuce to carrots to apples and oranges. So if you're confused about what you want to be buying, think about the foods that you have right now at home. Think about buying some good quality lean sources of protein and some, good quality seasonal fruits and vegetables, and that'll be a great way to start.
Yeah, don't stress thinking that it's fancy recipes or anything. There are recipes, but you can just be very basic. I mean, I'm basic every day with my food. And yeah, it can be something like chicken, rice, veggies, to start off with at least. So don't stress over it. As you just said, you most likely have everything available to you. It's just really, you'll just learn about different quantities and where to put them in your day. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. And look, like our nutrition templates is a template. It's not a plan. It's not a prescription of what to eat at what time, when to eat it. It's a template, something that is modifiable, customizable to you, your preferences and your environment. So just because the plan has, beef, and maybe you don't like beef, maybe you don't like red meat, you can choose to change that to something like chicken or maybe a plant-based source of protein, or maybe you really don't like eating grains for whatever reason. You could change your serving of energy to something like some avocado or some olive oil or something, you know, within your own enjoyment, your dietary preferences. So it is highly flexible, highly customizable. And chances are you're right. You know, you have the foods in your cupboard right now. It's all about that portion control, about understanding how much energy you're eating throughout the day and then managing that over the next 6 weeks so that we can make a change in our body.
That's right. And look, it doesn't hurt to just go through your cupboards and look at the foods that may not serve you. For example, like lots of packaged processed biscuits, things like that, you won't be needing them. So you can park them elsewhere in this time. You can do a bit of an audit of what's going on. Think about where you might want to put them. If you've got other people in the house that do like them, think about how you will control yourself around those things. That's all planning that can be done right now.
Absolutely. The other comment I just want to make is kind of what you said, Nick, about, you know, our recipes or our meals on the plan. And I think the most successful challenges are those people that kind of simplify their food experience, where they may just choose to have some grilled chicken, some cooked rice, and maybe some roasted vegetables on the side. So it's not an extravagant banquet, five-star meal. It's something that they could standardize, uniform, and repeat over and over again, because it's about this good routines, but every day we're having similar meals to make it easier for us. If you're cooking a feast every day or like a big banquet, five-star meal every single day, geez, that's a lot of energy, a lot of effort. It's probably easier to, you know, cook once a week, cook all your meals that are almost exactly the same. Yeah, sure. Add a few different spices and herbs and maybe I go a little bit out there with different sauces to make things taste a little bit differently, but the essence of it is very similar. So for the most success, we find that people do choose those simpler meals, that real classic bodybuilding style meals, and that kind of works for a reason. We do find those that, you know, want to have really extravagant meals do tend to complicate the process of it and make it harder for themselves. And we understand if you're a foodie, that's cool, that's fine, but it'll be easier if you do kind of simplify your food selection process.
Especially if you're new to it and it's your first week and you're trying to work out how to just get set up. And then as soon as you become a little bit more confident with everything, that's when, if you are a foodie, you can have a look at all the ingredients and adapt it to what you would like to do. But that doesn't have to happen straight away. It's probably best to keep it simple until you've got your head around everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on the training side of things, you know, it's very similar system to our nutrition template. It's a training template. So it's not a hard and fast prescription of, you know, what you need to do, because I mean, you can get fit following almost any training program. You don't need to do the bench press, or you don't need to do a bicep curl. You don't need to go for a run every day. You know, you can chop and change and move things around if you need to. So what can you do today to get prepared for that? Well, you know, we can start by just increasing our daily physical activity, maybe go for a walk every day. Heck, even just like a 30-minute walk around the block can do wonders for your health and your mindset, your livelihood, and your body transformation journey. Then on the actual gym side of things, that proper focused training side of things, you know, we can start making steps now to get ready for that. You know, maybe if you're training at home, you can create a small little space, your little sanctuary to go and train. Maybe if you are in a part of the country that's not in lockdown right now, we can go and sign up to a gym. We can go and look around and find out where different bits of equipment is and such, and maybe get a tour of the gym and start playing around with a few different exercises, because essentially we're going to be doing the exercises that you probably know already. We're going to be doing a squat pattern. We're going to be doing a deadlift pattern. We're going to be doing a pushing pattern and a pulling pattern. We're going to be doing these exercises that we all kind of know that we should be doing, but we're just putting it in a nice organized way. And then we're trying to progress that over time so that we get stronger, we get better, we get more efficient at doing those movements. And that's when our body adapts to that.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Now, my biggest tip for anybody listening to this right now, to start the challenge that's kicking off just in a couple of weeks, I would invite you to come and join us on our Facebook support group. So we have quite a large platform, and maybe you found this podcast through our Facebook group, but if you're finding our podcast first and you haven't heard of our Facebook group, we have, yes, it's about 9,000, almost 10,000 members now on our Max and Maxine official Facebook support group. And we've got loads of content there, Nick. We've got videos, we've got workouts from yourself. We've got live question and answers by both of us. We've got lots of hints and tips and other videos from other challenges, other users, and loads of questions with lots of answers to them. So if you're a little bit unsure where to start, where to begin, jump in our Facebook support group. You can ask questions. You can just sit there and watch what everyone else is doing. You could be inspired by some of our most active members that are in there, you know, previous winners themselves. And they can even talk about their experiences in the challenge themselves. So there's lots of information on our Facebook support group, and be sure that you come and join us for the fun there.
Yeah. And it might seem overwhelming at first, but just break it down to one little bit at a time, and eventually it will all make sense and fall into place.
Now, Nick, this is episode number 31 of the Challenge Weekly Show. So if you're finding this podcast for the very first time, make sure you go check out the other 30 episodes. So we're basically like a young adult of episodes, 30. So go check out our Challenge Weekly Show, 30 other episodes where you can listen to 30 hours of Coach Nick and I talking about a whole range of different topics, you know, from really entry-level fitness ideas to more advanced topics. So it's always good fun to go check those ones out.
Absolutely. You've got a lot of walking to do with the podcast for 30 hours. So that's good.
Yes. Now, look, Nick, let's move on to our next segment here, which we call our non-scale victories, where we're looking for victories that's not on the scale, and we're searching far and wide on our online platform. So, Nick, take it away.
All right. So this week we've got Amy McCartney, who's currently in hotel quarantine, and she's still doing her 10,000 steps a day. So she's just walking around and around in her room until she can get those steps. So that's a brilliant non-scale victory. That's fantastic, Amy. And Amy joined us for the last challenge, and she's really overhauled all her habits. So it's just fantastic to see that she's maintaining that habit. And look, if there's ever an excuse, it's if you're stuck in one room. So she's overcome that. Well done, Amy.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've been kind of following her journey on her Facebook group, our Facebook group, where she's been documenting her journey. So it's been cool to see what that one. And Amy, if you're listening, keep it up, stay strong. Don't go too crazy inside hotel quarantine, and I'm sure you'll be out in no time.
Yeah, respect, girlfriend. Okay, so the next one is Terri-Ann Boutros. So I'll just read what Terri-Ann has written. So she goes, unfortunately, so this is literally a non-scale victory. Unfortunately, I don't own any scales, so I couldn't weigh myself for the final check-in. I'm okay with that, as results don't always show on the scales. I did my measurements though, and I've definitely lost the centimetres, which I'm pleased with. My baby steps will turn into small steps and then into larger ones. So how good is that? That really illustrates what we were talking about before, about start somewhere. And things will build from there. So literally for Terri-Ann, a non-scale victory.
That's awesome. Congrats, Terri-Ann.
Very good. And then we've got Lynn Toner. So this is non-scale victory by Lynn. She did 2 chin-ups, 8 push-ups on her toes, definitely feeling strong. So we know that, for women, it takes a little bit of time to build that upper body strength to be able to do a chin-up. So that's a really awesome marker that you're starting to get super strong in the upper body and connect, you know, your lats, biceps, everything to do that pull up, to lift your body weight. So well done. Respect and welcome to the Chin Up Club, Lynn.
Awesome, Lynn. Congratulations. I found a couple, and I searched far and wide for these non-scale victories. So the first one I found on our journal, so that's on the challenge website. When you log in, you can write a journal, and you can actually see other challenges journals while they're doing their challenge. And this one goes to Byron Albrecht.
Hi, Albrecht. Byron.
Byron. So he says, this challenge was a little different, as I was not trying to lose weight. In fact, my weight did not change this time, but my shape certainly did. I'm no longer a rectangle, he says, which is awesome for Brian. And I think that just highlights that idea of maybe a recomposition, where you're not necessarily trying to lose body weight. That's not the goal, but we're trying to change our shape, which is still an improvement. We're building some muscle, we're gaining some strength. So that's awesome for Byron.
Hopefully he's an upside down triangle now.
The next one I found on our Facebook support groups, this goes out to Jamie Horner. And he writes, the first time challenger done and dusted. I'm a long way from where I wanted to be, as I mentally struggled from 6 weeks losing access to my gym due to COVID lockdown. I'm pleased to say I stuck with the diet. And as we all know, there's parts to a food program and exercise. Today, I'm in better frame of mind, and I'm not quitting and moving forward thanks to Max's challenge and my wife, Sharon Horner. So that's awesome for Jamie. He's hit some challenges along the way, some speed bumps, but he's now feeling confident enough to post online. He's done his first challenge, and he's making the most out of these lockdown times. So awesome for Jamie.
Brilliant.
And, And the last one here I actually found on Instagram. So this goes out to Nathaniel Harris, which is at Nathaniel.Harris. And he posted on his own Instagram, tagged Max's Challenge. And he says that I completed the 12-week Max's Challenge. I was a bit slack with my posts, but over the last 12 weeks, I banked in over 60 gym sessions and ate the cleanest I ever have. So awesome, Nathaniel, congratulations. And yes, we see everything from our Instagram, our journals, our Facebook group, and everything in between. So
we're
awesome.
We're watching.
Look, let's move on to our next segment, which we call our Coach's Corner, where Coach Nick and I will offer our coach's tip for the week. So, Nick, would you like to start us off?
I would love to. So I'm just going to explain a little bit about cardio allowance, because it's very different if you are trying to improve your physique to if you are trying to improve your cardiovascular output for, say, an endurance sport or something along those lines. It's just very, very different playing field. So, and sometimes it takes people a while to get their head around, because you think, oh, if I do more cardio, I will get, you know, at first people think skinnier, or that, you know, they don't sort of think necessarily leaner, which is different to skinnier. So we want to preserve as much muscle as possible. Let's just assume that you want a better physique out of this. So let's just assume that you're not training necessarily for, you know, an explosive power, like a sport, you know, like an endurance sport, like a hockey or a, you know, some Olympic sport, you know, with where you actually need to, Olympic swimming, anything where you need to, you know, actually improve your cardiovascular output so you become incredibly efficient. We actually want to stay fairly inefficient. So I know this myself, because I come from that kind of cardio background where I've taught a lot of spin and done a lot of endurance events and things. And to make myself now inefficient, where I will actually burn some calories when I go for a walk, where the walk will actually count towards possibly improving my physique at all, like to count towards calorie expenditure, I actually sometimes have to back off. Because if I don't, what happens to me is I can do 10,000 steps and my body is like, oh, whatever. And I'll suddenly end up at 20,000 steps, and maybe I'll lower my calories if I'm getting ready for a physique competition. And suddenly I've got this big disparity where I'm doing, you know, a million steps, calories are really low, and nothing's happening. So with physique sports, it's very important to go gently with the cardio. You still have to do your 10,000 steps, but just make sure you don't overdo it and don't play all your cards at once. It's just a little tip.
Yeah, I like that. And you know, when we do look at the concept of metabolic adaptations, one of the theories is that we do become more efficient at things such as, let's say, activities of daily living. The energy that it takes us to get out of bed and, you know, walk to the kitchen, or to, you know, walk to work, or to go to the toilet, whatever our activities of daily living are, as we get fitter, as we get, you know, lighter in body weight, as we build more muscle, we become more efficient at those activities, so that in as we progress in time, it will take fewer calories or fewer units of energy to complete the same amount of activity. And it's exactly the same with something like cardio, where as you run more, you become more efficient at running. You know, you get a better stride length, you're able to run a little bit faster, a little bit easier. And that's where it becomes almost enjoyful, where you kind of break through that learning phase and you're like, oh, well, I could run, you know, 20 Ks. And that's a bit of a warm up because it's effortless. You made it easy. Exactly the same as, you know, let's say weights training. If I, you know, go to squat 100 kilos now, like that's pretty easy for me. I'm not going to get like a big stimulus. I'm not going to expend many calories. I'm not going to stimulate much muscle growth if I'm just doing it for, you know, a set of 10. I need kind of a heavier load now. I need to progress it more so that I can get a similar stimulus. And that's exactly the same as what you're saying, Nick, where if we continue to play all our cards at the same time, we become really efficient at something like walking, right? We become the best walker in the world. We might as well join the Olympics at speed walking. we don't expend the same amount of calories. So what can we do? Well, it is a little bit of a battle back and forth where we go, well, okay, well, maybe I will reduce my calories slightly, increase my steps slightly, and not, you know, play all our cards at the same time.
That's right. Yeah, you don't, like, just assuming that your goal is not to be like the best speed walker in the world, assuming your goal is to grow your booty, for example, then you need to think about these things. You need to play these cards wisely. If your goal is to become like an endurance something or just all-round fit, and it doesn't matter so much about growing muscle or having the body composition at this stage, then it doesn't matter. So just think about your goals.
I like it. That's a good tip. I want to talk a little bit about metabolism and aging. All right. So I want to talk a little bit about a bit more of like that dietary considerations for aging. Now, in the challenge, our average challenger is aged at about 40 years old. Okay. So we do kind of skew a lot of our challenges in that kind of other that demographic around 40s. And then, you know, we do have a larger community above that, you know, into the 50s and up to the 60s. And we do have a community a little bit below that around the 30s. Not many individuals in that lower 20s range. And, you know, there is this kind of common saying that your metabolism slows down after 30. Maybe you've heard that one before, Nick.
Yeah, all the time from lots of clients. And yeah, absolutely.
And it is, it's a saying that I hear all the time where, you know, like, oh, as you age, your metabolism slows down and, you know, you're going to put on weight. It's just what happens. And I want to talk a little bit about that saying, if there is any, you know, substance to that saying. And there was this really cool study that got released just a couple of days ago from recording this podcast. And it was a really large systematic review. And what the systematic review is they look at, you know, loads and loads of other studies. So it's a study of lots of studies that looks at a certain idea. And this was longitudinal studies about energy expenditure through a lifespan. So they were looking at infants all the way up to like 90-year-old individuals across this systematic review. Now, what they found, what they were looking at was energy expenditure. And what they found was that when muscle mass was equated, that they found that the energy expenditure stabilized between ages 20 and 60. So if we were to rewind a second, if you're not sure what metabolism means, metabolism is essentially how much energy you expend, right? It's how much energy you need to live and survive, which is made up of a number of factors such as our basal metabolic rate, our thermic effect of food, our non-energy exercise activity, and then also our energy exercise activity thermogenesis heat. So it's made up of a number of different categories about how much energy we expend throughout the day. When our muscle mass is equated, we find that individuals between ages 20 and 60 expend very similar energy expenditure throughout their lifespan. So what this kind of suggests is that that saying of your metabolism slows down after 30 isn't really correct. And what might be more correct is to say that you lose muscle after 30, which decreases your energy expenditure. Okay. Which is life. And, you know, if we think about the common classic Westerner lifestyle, you know, we're in our 20s, maybe we're going out, we're being social, we're doing all the 20-year-old things. You know, maybe we're going to the gym, we're playing recreational sport. And once we kind of transition,
hiking,
yeah, all those things. And then as we transition into our 30s, 40s, 50s, what does the normal person do? We start to, you know, work a full-time job. We have children. We, you know, maybe start to be a bit more sedentary. We're not putting ourselves first. We're not playing those recreational sports like we did. We might not be as physically active. So overall, our body, our muscle mass, our lean body mass slowly decreases over time. And then what that also does is it slowly decreases our overall energy expenditure so that, you know, me currently I'm about 100 kilos at about maybe 15% body fat. So let's say I've got maybe 85 kilos of lean body mass. It takes a lot of energy for me to stand up compared to, let's say, yourself, Nick, who's a lot lighter than me. So if we were to put you and I both on like an energy scanning machine, if we were just to stand up, it takes a lot more units of energy for my body to pick up all of my body weight. So I then expend a lot more energy throughout the day so that my budget for the day, heck, I could eat, I don't know, a pizza if I wanted to. I could eat a burger if I wanted to because I use a lot of energy just to, yeah, you know, get out of bed in the morning, right?
Just to be Coach Steve.
So what this study suggests to us is that we, as we age, we do need to prioritize resistance training. That's everybody, guys, girls, at every age, to prioritize resistance training. Because if you don't, you're just going to continue to lose muscle mass. And as we lose muscle mass, we decrease our metabolism. When we decrease our metabolism, our budget for energy intake decreases. So you could be eating the exact same food all through your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Let's say you were, I don't know, living in a lab and they fed you exactly the same calories every single day. as you age and as you decrease your physical activity, as you lose muscle mass, you will slowly gain body weight because you are expending less energy throughout the day, mainly due to muscle mass. Okay. Now, other things they found in this study was that after 60, they found a 1% decrease per year in energy expenditure. And that was mainly to do with kind of organ-related things and internal mechanisms inside. So once we hit 60, okay, then we do see that kind of slowdown of the metabolism because our body has been alive for 60 years. So things like our liver, slowly starts to make some cellular changes and requires less energy just to do the job of the liver, okay? So the main takeaway here is that we want to promote resistance training to negate the effects of what we call sarcopenia, which is the decrease of muscle mass over time, okay? Now, in terms of dietary recommendations, as we change, you know, they do stay very similar throughout our livelihood. You know, we do want to eat, you know, good sources of protein. We want to be having a good balance between our carbs and fats, our macronutrients. We still want to have our nutritional intake, such as our, a range of vitamins and minerals, a good fiber intake, you know, staying really hydrated, all these good things. The one thing that kind of does change in terms of recommendations as we age is the suggested protein intake compared to lean body mass. So I'm talking about lean body mass, how much muscle we have, a little bit difficult to measure exactly. But as a rough guide, let's say if you're between ages of, 30 to 40, you know, our recommendations is around this maybe 2 grams per kilo of lean body mass, okay? As we age, let's say your ages 40 to 50, that kind of increases slightly to maybe 2.5 grams per kilo of lean body mass. That's not your body weight. It's how much muscle mass you have right now. And then as we go to towards like 50 to 60, we kind of go a little bit higher, maybe 2.7, 2.8 grams per kilo of lean body mass. Then as we go 60 to 70, we're kind of up there at that 3 grams per kilo of lean body mass. And the reason why we will have this very slight increase in terms of recommendations is that we know higher protein intakes is correlated to the upkeep of muscle mass, the retention of muscle mass, especially as we age. So as we age, if we were to slowly increase our overall protein intake, we could really fight those effects of sarcopenia where we're losing our muscle mass, okay?
Very good advice.
My main tip to everybody is, yes, get in the gym or stay at home, lift something heavy and put it back down and lift it up again and put it back down and get stronger. We know that as we build more muscle, more skeletal muscle, we see crazy, awesome health effects all through our body from decreased inflammation. We get stronger bones. We get better skin. We get better digestive system. We get this nice mental refreshment. If there was anything that is the fountain of youth, it is strength training. So go and lift up something heavy, put it back down and do it a couple more times.
Yeah. Well, as a 42-year-old woman who has kids, I know that I'm in better shape now than I was when I was 20, whatever, just simply because of the activity that I do. So there you go.
Awesome. Look, Nick, let's move on to some questions this week. And you can start us off with this first question, which pops up a couple of times across, different years in the challenge. And it's a question about kids or teenagers and if they are allowed to do the challenge. So would you like to answer this one?
Sure. Well, I mean, they can't sign up and do the challenge, but what they can do is learn from example while you are doing the challenge. So maybe things like going for walks together if your child is not really a big mover, and it's not anyone's fault at the moment because of lockdowns and things, just the incidental exercise that they would get at school. Say my daughter, who used to run around and play capture the flag, now she sits on her iPad most of the time. So just re-encouraging that movement together is probably the first thing that I would do. The thing that I would make sure just to keep an eye on is not necessarily to have weight-based or numerically based goals. So I probably would keep that out of it. But other than that, things like cooking together, promoting like eating the rainbow, colourful, healthy vegetables, getting children involved in the meal prep, even explaining what you're doing in a way of saying, I'm getting healthier, I'm getting stronger. Those sorts of words are amazing to use for children. And then they will be inspired by you. So you can possibly, you'll get the energy when you're doing the challenge to maybe play some sports with your kids. So maybe you might feel like doing some basketball or some netball or whatever they normally do, those sorts of things. I like to play skipping. Skipping is good, skipping rope. And just get kids in the kitchen and also involved in the shopping. So at the moment it's a bit hard to take the kids to the supermarket, but what I do is I do an order every week at the moment, and I will show the kids visually all the vegetables on the screen and say, which ones do you feel like this week? And they feel like, I think if they actually make a choice with the purchase, they sort of feel like they have to eat it. So that's a good one too. And I also tell my kids to cook the things that they like to cook. So my daughter likes a cauliflower dish. So every Sunday I insist that she cooks it, because then she can't say she doesn't like it because she's done it. So that's another little tip. If you get them to cook their own or supervise them, that's pretty cool. And veggies, always colourful, make it fun if it's something that isn't their favourite thing to do. And just as a family, maybe just get it sort of as a little routine. That's what I'd say. That cannot hurt anyone.
Yeah, I like that. And I'd agree with all that you've said. I do think that parents or everybody kind of has some hesitations about having children involved in any sort of like structured, let's say, diet program or any structured like exercise program. All I would say is that, like you said, number one, your kids can't like officially sign up to the challenge. Like, we can't have photos of kids in their shorts and their transformations. No, like, that's not happening. But they can join in with you in doing physical activity. There's nothing wrong with that. Kids play sport. Kids are, if you go and watch a Ozkick training session, like, kids are doing like push-ups and running around and sit-ups and stuff. Like, kids can do resistance training. Kids can do exercise. So there's nothing wrong with kids doing structured training programs. And heck, I've been looking at kids barbells. So you could buy 3 kilo kids barbells, getting ready for my child that's arriving soon. So, these are things that, dumbbell. We want to promote. Yeah.
Baby dumbbell. I mean,
just talking about my own experiences as a teenager, like, when I was in that, mid-teens, that 14, 15, it was like the thing that, we were all doing. Like, we're all self-conscious, like little boys, we're all teenagers. And we were like, oh, well, how am I, going to get big like these people that we see online or in magazines and stuff like that? So we were going into the gym and we were doing like resistance training things as a teenager. Heck, man, if I had like some sort of guidance, something like the challenge and, something like some structure and routine, I would be years ahead of where I am now, because I had that, I would have had that like grounding foundation. So if anything, teach your kids like these important things of, structured training, or get them out doing physical activity and walking and these types of things. So I think it's really cool.
I also get when we're not locked down, my daughter and I, my eldest daughter, we do yoga together as well. That's also just a way for her to disconnect from all the things that might be going on at school and learn how to move her body in that way. So there are things that you can do with your kids that they want to do. My kids are rebelling a little bit against weight training at the moment because they see me, they're like, we don't want muscles like you. But one day they will.
And then I think the other side that we do need to talk about is, that food side of things. And I understand the hesitations around, let's say, like the dieting culture, and sometimes it's really extreme and crash dieting, and we all know that's not great relationships with food. After chatting with some previous top 10s and their experiences with their own kids on the challenge, they found that their kids were starting to be more curious around food and have a better understanding about portion sizes, and being like, wow, mom, or wow, dad, you're losing weight and you're having the same foods as what we've always eaten. That's awesome. And I think if I was to teach my children that in the future, that hey, you can control your body weight and control your body composition just by making some small changes. You don't need to be having all these crazy detoxes or fad diets that you might see on your social medias or in a magazine here and there. If you were able to teach your kids some just good food habits now, like, oh geez, that's like planting the seed of just a great relationship with food in the future, especially if they're in their 30s or 40s. Maybe imagine your kids as your age right now and they're like, oh well, I'm struggling to learn about food. Imagine if they could learn that when they're a teenager, being like, hey, yeah, I mean, I can avoid gaining weight by just walking a little bit more and just portioning my food slightly, and I could still eat, you know, a sandwich here and there, and I can have a spaghetti bolognese on Monday nights with Coach Steve and all these good things, right? So I think it's important to teach these habits early.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, that's very true. Once you learn that that food is, it's something that you can control and you can be very aware of, and you can go either way with it, wherever you want, you know, with it, you can allow anything into your diet, as long as you control the portion sizes. That's important and empowering for kids, you know. And also, you never know, just say that you are a little bit unhealthy and you're getting started with the challenge. You won't even probably realize how relieved your kids will be to see you starting to move and feeling better. So they'll be very happy.
Absolutely. The next question here I want to talk about is about pain. So a question came up on the forum, which was, someone explained that they had experienced an injury and they were asking, what's the difference between good pain and bad pain? And I thought this was a great question.
Yeah, I like that question.
Yeah, where this individual wasn't necessarily afraid of pain, which is the perfect first step. And they were asking, well, what's the difference between good and bad pain? And I think this really highlights that point where, you know, just because you're experiencing an injury, doesn't mean that you need to be completely pain-free. Heck, some of us go into the gym and search for pain, where they're trying to do as much as they can so that they feel that burn, that ache, that soreness. So some people seek out that pain when they're training. Other people will go to, like, let's say, a massage therapist and want pain. Like they're seeking, you know, someone to dig their elbow into their butt, or like someone to put a needle into their shoulder or something like that. They're seeking pain. So, pain isn't always a bad thing. And it's something that, you know, we need to be okay with, especially when we are experiencing an injury. Because one of the best ways to rehab an injury is to start, you know, kind of working slowly through the pain, building up some range of motion in that pain, some strength in that pain, to be like, well, yeah, you know, I'm slowly rehabbing and building these structures again. So some pain is to be expected if you have experienced an injury. Now, when it comes to an injury, it's all about load management. Just like when we're doing training in the gym, it's load management. If we do too much too quickly, we're going to be sore. Our body won't adapt to that. If we do too little, it's not enough stimulus for our body to adapt. We kind of need to be like Goldilocks and find what's just right. And we can do that just through a self-assessment, a quantitative assessment. So we can just scale it on a scale. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, really, really extreme, high level pain, 10 out of 10 pain, versus like a 1 being, you know, maybe next to no pain, just like, you know, maybe what we are now. If you are experiencing an injury or even just general pain, if that pain is less than a 5 out of 10, great. I'd say that is well within a range that you can work in. So if it's a 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 10 pain, great, happy days, no concerns, no issues. It's just a part of building that resilience in our body. Now, if it's higher than that 5 out of 10, so we're talking 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 out of 10 pain, whatever that means to you, because your pain is very subjective to you. If that is present during or 24 hours after the activity, so let's say you are wondering, should I go for a run? I've got sore knees. After you do that run, no pain, but then maybe 4 hours later, oh gosh, you know, 8, 9, 10 out of 10 pain in your knees. Okay, maybe that 5K run was too much too soon. And maybe next time it's probably better to do like a 3K run, just manage the load accordingly to test that effects. Okay. That's the main takeaway between good and bad pain, is just to scale it, put it on a scale between 1 and 10, less than 5, happy days, over 5, during or 24 hours after, a little bit too much, a little bit too soon.
Very good. Thank you. That's good.
The next question here is about maintenance calories. So this question came up on the forum about how to transition to maintenance calories. So from either a calorie deficit or a calorie surplus, how do we actually go back to maintenance? So Nick, would you like to answer this one?
Yes, thank you. So the other thing is, how do you even know what your maintenance is? Because I'm assuming that you've been doing something where your initial maintenance will have shifted because you've either lost weight or gained, you know, muscle or whatever you've done. So you first of all need to work out, based on your current stats, where your maintenance might be. So you know, it's always a little bit of a ballpark, isn't it? Like we never really know unless we're in a lab and getting tested all the time and things like that. So you can ballpark it. So just say that you've lost a good 7 kilos, your maintenance calories will come down from where they used to be, especially at first. So the idea is to rebuild them so you can, look, this is a rough way of putting it, but you can eat more and still stay at the same body composition, you know. And if you go straight up to maintenance calories without doing, I guess you would say, a reverse diet, what the risk is that you can actually just gain body fat back quite quickly. You might be, you know, your hormone levels a little bit out of whack, especially if you've been in an aggressive deficit, say, you know, something where you've really been trying to get super lean, super shredded for the challenge. Your body's going to soak it up and just go, oh, hang on a minute. I just want to live again. I want to stay alive. So I'm just going to grab this and I'm going to, yeah, become, yeah, probably just a little bit, probably a little bit uncomfortable. So the way to do it is just to incrementally increase your calories. So in this time now, in between the challenges, it's a good chance to just add back some servings that you were, to simplify it, add back some servings that were taken out as we went along. So you can just re-add what was taken out in, you know, the weeks 5 to 8, re-add that and then re-add again to get back to your original or thereabouts. That's what I would do. You may still be in a deficit for a while when you're reverse dieting. So that's the thing, but it just won't be as aggressive.
I like that answer. And you know, just to add some extra comments, like you're right, if you just kind of jump back to what you think is maintenance, chances are that's not completely correct. That might have changed a bit. You know, if you are 10 kilos lighter or 10% lighter, you know, you won't be expending as much energy. So your maintenance might not be exactly correct. What is probably a better strategy is that you slowly move yourself back to maintenance over the course of, let's say, 3 weeks. And then you can test that against, let's say, your body weight changes. So as you, let's say, increase your calories by, I don't know, 100 calories, which would be one serve of energy on our plans, that then you could test that against your body weight changes. And if your body weight is now stable after just increasing it by 100 calories and it's not changing, then you go, okay, well, I wasn't too far out of a deficit. I only increased my calories by 100. If you're still losing weight, then you could increase it by another 100 and go, okay, am I losing weight? And then you can just continue increasing it until you see that your weight is increasing. Then you go, okay, I've gone too far. So you can just slowly find that maintenance range. And that usually, you know, takes us that 3, maybe 4 weeks to find that range. And then that's when we see that normalization of our NEAT, our daily energy expenditure. We see this kind of normalization of our overall daily energy expenditure, or our quote metabolism end quote. So I'd say phase it over a couple of weeks, usually that 2 to 3 weeks, which kind of matches up nicely to our break within the challenge to get ready for that next challenge.
Yeah, definitely. And just if you've been in a big deficit, just really watch your hunger signals, because you'll want to eat all the foods. So this is a really sensitive time for your body and you really want to try and get it right.
Absolutely.
That's all. Just your leptin and your ghrelin, your hunger hormones, and satiation hormones, like feeling of fullness, they're a little bit out of whack and they can lie to you. So you can eat, like, you know, not that I've done this, but oh no, never. Like you can eat a kilo of oats, not quite, but you can do that and go, I'm still hungry. And it's like, it's just not actually physically possible to be still hungry, but your tummy says it is.
Yeah.
Yep. Watch out for that.
The last question here is about home gym equipment.
Yep.
And I guess we are getting lots of questions like this with most of this country in lockdowns right now. But, you know, it seems like lots of individuals are biting the bullet and looking at buying some home gym equipment. So some things to train at home. And let's just offer our kind of tips here about what to get. And you know, we've spoken about this in a few other different podcasts. And I would say, like, my first thing that I would recommend for people to buy is a set of adjustable dumbbells. I think that you could pick them up quite cheaply from everywhere, from like a Kmart to, Kogan or eBay and such. You could buy like a 20 kilo set of adjustable dumbbells, comes in a nice little carry case box to put them in. And maybe that lives in your cupboard for a while until, you know, that next lockdown comes around. Or maybe you use them as a small workout that you could do at home. Something like 20 kilos is more than enough to do some a range of different exercises, from some squats, some deadlifts, some, you know, like a bench press or like a floor press, and then, you know, some sort of rowing activities. You know, you can build a program around a set of dumbbells. It doesn't need to be crazy and extravagant. It can just be 20 kilos. And if you're sitting there being like, oh, well, Steve, I lift more than 20 kilos. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, I use a set of 20 kilo dumbbells and I do most of my exercises with those at home. So I'm sure you can train with them too. So that's the first thing I'd say. Grab yourself a set of dumbbells. They don't need to be fancy.
That's right. And also, if your choice is, if you lift more than 20 kilos, but you're choosing to do nothing over lifting more than 20 kilos because you just don't want to buy it because it's not more than 20 kilos, then by the time you get back to the gym, you won't be lifting more than 20 kilos.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Hot tip.
Now, other than a set of dumbbells, so that'll be like the first step. Step one, grab a set of dumbbells. Step two, if you wanted a little bit more, I'd recommend grabbing a some resistance bands. So you can pick up resistance bands quite cheaply everywhere, from, you know, your Kmart, your Target, your department stores, your Amazon, your eBay, quite cheaply. And that adds a whole range of other exercises that you can do. And you can even use dumbbells and resistance bands at the same time, which is really cool. You can just sit on Google and type in resistance band exercises and it'll be literally thousands of different resistance band exercises, more than you and I could imagine, you know, creatively between us. So grab yourself a set of dumbbells, and then step two, grab yourself a set of resistance bands. That will be more than enough for a home gym, and that all packs away nicely into a very small space in your cupboard. You don't even need like a garage space for that type of stuff.
That's right. And the other thing is, maybe don't even worry at this point in the lockdown about necessarily packing it all away, because it's really about, in the triage of things, you've got to look after your health. So maybe just keep it out for a little bit and just go, okay, I'm locked down. This is my circumstance. This is my little corner. This is my tiny little corner. Even if you have a meter by a meter or, you know, something like that, just say, this is me. I'm sitting here. This is my stuff. And you own it, because sometimes when it's just out, you use it more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just create that habit.
Well, look, Nick, both of us have a bit of a home gym setup at the moment. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what kind of equipment you have at home?
Yes. So I've collected it over time, but what I did do, just simply because when I first found out about the lockdowns way back in March, last year in Melbourne, I was on I was on Google to World Fitness straight away, getting a power rack. I just thought it's probably a good idea to set up something in my shed anyway, because I had all my spin stuff in here. And so I got myself a power rack, which you can do a million things on. It's good for squatting. You can do chin-ups. You know, you can squat obviously super heavy if you want to without dying in the shed on your own, that kind of thing. We have a chin-up bar that we've always had, which I now use a lot, which I never used to. I've got resistance bands. I've got a 20-kilo barbell and about 140 kilos of Olympic plates, and then also just a whole bunch of other kind of metal plates that Shane had kicking around. He's got an old bench press, and I've got one of my favorite things, which is an adjustable bench. So I can do a lot of work on that as well. And in my power rack, see, I actually use my power rack as a bench press. So I'll just set up the catches, the hooks, and just do it with my bench there. So I don't need a bench press like Shane has. He has a flat bench. I don't really necessarily need that. I'm probably not ever going over 50 kilos, so I'm okay. And then the other thing that I have is one of those weird, I did get a sissy squat machine. Sorry, I've got that. And I've got one of those weird things that you get that is not like what it looks like when it gets the picture. So it's a hamstring curl and leg extension. I finally, after a year, worked out how to actually make the hamstring curl work properly. So that's a lot of stuff.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you've got lots of little bits and pieces and lots of toys in your shed at the moment.
Yeah, because also, like, the same as you, it is actually our profession. So it's part of our it's part of our job to make sure that we are training and, you know, we're practicing what we preach. So it's important to us. It's just like we need a computer. We do need our weights, you and I. So, yeah. How about yourself?
Yeah, I think I've got a little bit less than what you have. So I train in my single car garage. Mm-hmm. And it's been like a slow build up of little bits and pieces. And I mainly started through the lockdown as well. So when that hit in March last year, I actually bought myself two kettlebells, and that's what started it. I bought a 32 kilo kettlebell and a 24 kilo kettlebell. And that was literally all I was using for training in that first kind of lockdown period. Then I acquired a set of adjustable dumbbells, those 20 kilo adjustable dumbbells. I think I literally got that from Kmart. And that, you know, opened up a bunch of other exercises to me. So I was doing lots of kettlebell swings and lots of bicep curls. And that was good fun and playing around with different exercises. I've got a range of different resistance bands. Again, I think it was mainly from Kmart. And you probably see them a lot on the exercise demonstration videos on your training template. Then I went and got a set of a barbell. So I've got a barbell and a bit of a barbell minimalist where I do lots of barbell exercises. It's about 250 kilos of plates, which I've slowly picked up over time. And then I've got just an independent squat rack. So what they are is just two independent stands of a squat rack. And I can adjust that to a height to do a squat. Height to do a bench press, and then of course I've just got a bench as well, which I literally only use for bench press, and that's probably the only reason to use a bench is just for a bench press. So in terms of equipment, I don't have a lot, but if you look at my program, and you probably see a lot of it on Instagram, I do lots of just barbell exercises. I do squats, I do deadlifts, I do bench press, and then with the barbell I do things like rows, overhead presses, bicep curls, tricep extensions. Nothing too wild and wacky. It's just the bread and butter exercises that people have been doing for decades now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
I would love to get a power rack. So something like what you have. So a bit more sturdy than the squat rack I have now. And if you watch my videos on Instagram, I use the kettlebells to weigh down the squat rack so the thing doesn't tip over when I've got, you know, like 200 kilos on the bar or something like that. So I'd love to get like a power rack. Which might have like some safety arms. So it just kind of gives you that safety net so you don't die, which is always nice as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, because if we died out in our sheds, no one would even notice for at least an hour.
No. But, you know, the one cool thing that I recently purchased, which is probably one of the most expensive things I've bought in a while, was I bought a reformer bed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I'm expecting my first child soon. My partner, Laura, she's very heavily pregnant. And both her and I, we actually met teaching Pilates. So I used to be a Pilates instructor once upon a time. So I went and bought her a reformer bed for home. So in our garage right now, our single car garage with no cars inside of it, we have a reformer bed and a squat rack set up. So it's a nice juxtaposition, which is nice. But yeah, so she's able to do a little bit of reformer work. I jumped on the reformer bed. I haven't been on one in a couple of years. And it's always fun. So yeah, that was probably one of the most expensive things I've bought in a while. And I should probably invest in a few more things in my little gym. But the main takeaway is that I think many people listening to this right now have more equipment than I do, and probably even more equipment than you do, Nick, and may still be scratching their head being like, do I have enough to train? And all I would say is that you have a lot of things at home right now to train with, and hopefully with a bit of education, a bit of new information, you can figure out that, hey, you can do a lot of different things with the things that you have.
Definitely. I mean, if I had to get rid of everything, I would just keep the barbell and the plates and I'd be fine.
Yeah. Well, like before I even had a squat rack, I was just using the barbell and I was just doing Olympic lifts. So I had my kettlebells, I had my barbell, and it was about, you know, 100 and something kilos worth of plates. And all I was doing was cleans and front squats and deadlifts, bent over rows, overhead presses. So I didn't have a bench, didn't have a squat rack, but I was still able to do all those things just with an Olympic barbell. But you know, that's me. That's my preference. I like barbell training, barbell minimalist, but you don't even need a barbell. You can just use some dumbbells and a resistance band and you can get really fit and really strong.
True.
True. Well, look, Nick, let's wrap it up there for episode number 31 of the Challenge Weekly Show. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know. You can share it on Instagram. You can leave us a review on iTunes or even just send us a message. We always love those ones as well. We'll catch you next week for episode number 32.
Thanks, everybody.